A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's been on a stationary deep dive lately, and today he's asking about the Molotow refillable marker system, specifically how it handles fine inventory marking and industrial applications. Most people know Molotow for graffiti supplies, but they're one of the few brands maintaining a genuinely refillable architecture, and Daniel wants to know what nibs work for fine to medium markings with lacquer and oil-based inks. Which is a much deeper question than it sounds like.
It really is, because you're not just asking which nib fits. You're asking what combination of ink chemistry, nib material, and flow mechanics survives a factory floor versus a warehouse shelf versus a shipping container crossing the equator. And Molotow has been quietly building this system since 2005, while everyone else was moving toward disposable everything.
The paradox sitting at the center of this. The marker industry makes its money on disposability. You buy a marker, it dries out or the nib mushes. You toss it and buy another. Molotow built their whole platform around the opposite assumption that the barrel, the nib, the ink reservoir are all separate, replaceable components you keep using for years.
That's not just a sustainability talking point. In an industrial context, where you're marking thousands of items a day, the economics flip completely. You're not paying for a new plastic barrel every time the ink runs out. You're paying for ink and the occasional nib replacement. The math gets interesting fast.
Let's unpack what makes a marker truly refillable, and why that matters when you're marking things that need to survive a factory floor.
So the Molotow system, and I want to be precise about what we mean by system here, is modular in a way that most so-called refillable markers are not. You've got four separate components. The barrel, which is a reusable aluminum or plastic tube. The nib, which pulls out and pushes back in. The ink reservoir inside the barrel, it's a fiber core that holds the ink. And the pump mechanism at the base. Each of these can be replaced independently. If your nib wears out, you don't throw away the ink. If you want to switch from lacquer to oil-based ink, you flush the reservoir and swap.
Which is different from a marker where you can technically syringe more ink into the felt core, but the nib is permanently crimped in place, and the whole thing falls apart after three refills.
And that distinction matters because Molotow's industrial lines, the Coverall oil-based markers and the Overall lacquer-based markers, use the same modular architecture as their graffiti line. The premium and burner markers, the ones graffiti writers use, share the same barrel threading and nib compatibility as the industrial stuff. What changes is the ink chemistry.
Before we get to nibs, we need to talk about what's inside the marker, because the chemistry determines everything.
This is where most coverage of markers falls apart. People talk about permanent, like it's one thing. It's not. Permanent means the ink bonds to the surface and resists removal. But how it bonds and what it resists depends entirely on the binder system. And Molotow uses two fundamentally different ones.
Walk me through the lacquer side first. What's actually happening when you mark something with a 1-4-all?
Lacquer-based inks use a resin, typically an acrylic or acrylic polyurethane blend, dissolved in a solvent. When you lay down a mark, the solvent evaporates and the resin cross-links into a hard film on the surface. Think of it like nail polish. You paint it on wet, the solvent flashes off, and you're left with a solid coating that's mechanically bonded to whatever you marked.
That film is what gives it the chemical resistance.
Once that resin film forms, it's impervious to a surprising range of things. Acetone will eventually break it down, but alcohol, water, most cleaning solvents, they slide right off. The 1-4-all lacquer ink, once fully cured, can handle temperatures up to 200 degrees Celsius for short periods. That's nearly 400 degrees Fahrenheit. You could mark a metal part, run it through a powder coating oven, and the mark survives.
Which is wild for something that comes out of what looks like a paint pen.
But there's a trade-off. Lacquer films are hard, which means they're brittle. If you mark something that flexes, a plastic cable tie, a rubber gasket, a polyethylene sheet, the mark can crack and flake off as the substrate moves. That's where oil-based inks come in.
Oil-based is the flexible sibling.
Yeah, and the chemistry is totally different. Oil-based inks, like the Molotow Coverall line, use a drying oil as the binder. Usually, a modified linseed oil or an alkyd resin. Instead of evaporating a solvent and leaving a film, these cure by oxidation. The oil reacts with oxygen in the air and polymerizes. It's the same chemistry as oil paint, just accelerated.
Which is why it takes longer.
A lacquer mark is touch dry in 30 to 60 seconds. An oil-based mark takes 12 to 24 hours to fully cure. But once it does, you get something lacquer can't match. Flexibility and adhesion to non-porous surfaces. Glass, polished metal, certain plastics. Oil-based inks bite into those in a way lacquer can't.
The chemical resistance profile is different, too.
A cured Coverall mark resists gasoline, diesel, hydraulic fluid, motor oil. That's not a claim most lacquer inks can make. The trade-off is heat. Coverall tops out around 150 degrees Celsius versus the 1-4-all's 200. And it's more vulnerable to strong solvents like acetone before it's fully cured.
If I'm on a factory floor marking steel beams that are going to get welded near, I want lacquer. If I'm in a warehouse marking plastic bins that are going to get knocked around and exposed to hydraulic fluid leaks, I want oil-based.
That's the decision matrix, yeah. And this is where the refillable system becomes useful, because you can run both ink types through the same marker body. You're not buying two separate disposable markers for two different jobs. You've got one marker, two bottles of ink, and you flush the reservoir when you switch.
Which sounds cleaner in theory than it probably is in practice.
The pump refill system is clever, but not foolproof. Molotow uses a valve at the base of the marker. You unscrew the cap, press the pump bottle nozzle into the valve, and pump ink into the reservoir. The valve is supposed to prevent backflow and regulate pressure. When it works, it's nearly mess-free. But if you overpump, or if the valve seal degrades over time, you can get leakage around the base. And oil-based inks in particular are a nightmare to clean up if they leak.
There's a technique to it.
You pump slowly, you stop when you see ink starting to saturate the nib. You'll see the color change at the tip, and you don't try to completely fill the reservoir in one go. The reservoir holds about 8 to 10 milliliters of ink, and a 30 milliliter refill bottle gives you roughly 3 to 4 refills depending on how saturated the core already is.
Let's put some numbers on the economics, because that's where this gets interesting for anyone running an operation. What's the actual cost per mark?
Let's compare a Molotow 104 All marker to an Edding 780 industrial marker, which is a high-end disposable. A Molotow marker body costs about $8. A 30 milliliter refill bottle of 104 All lacquer ink costs roughly $2 and gives you about 10 refills. A replacement nib, we'll get to nibs in a minute, costs around $1.50. The Edding 780 costs about $4 and is disposable.
The break-even math.
First marker, you're spending $8 for the body plus $2 for ink. $10 total. The Edding is $4. After your first refill, you spent another $2 on ink. $12 total for the Molotow versus $8 for two Eddings. After the third refill, you're at $14 for Molotow versus $12 for three Eddings. That's your break-even point. After that, every refill costs you $2 versus $4 for a new Edding. Over the life of the marker, and these bodies can easily last through 20 refills, you're saving serious money.
For a factory marking 10,000 circuit boards a day?
I ran the numbers. If each board gets one mark, and a marker lasts about 2,000 marks before needing a refill, you're going through 5 markers a day. With disposables at $4 each, that's $20 a day, $100 a week, about $5,000 a year. With Molotow refillables, your daily cost drops to roughly $2 in ink and maybe 50 cents in nibware. That's $12.50 a week, about $650 a year. You're saving over $4,000 annually on one marking station.
Which is the kind of number that makes a factory manager sit up and pay attention.
We haven't even factored in the downtime of walking to the supply closet for a new marker, or the waste disposal costs for 500 disposable marker bodies a year.
Alright, so we've got our ink chemistry sorted. Now the question is, how do you get that ink onto the surface with precision? That's where nibs come in.
Nib selection is where I see even experienced users make the wrong call, because it's not just about line width. You're choosing a material, a porosity, and a flow rate.
Let's start with the size range Molotow offers.
They go from a 0.5 mm superfine nib all the way up to a 15 mm chisel. for fine inventory marking, barcodes, serial numbers, asset tags, we're mostly looking at the 1mm, 2mm, and 4mm round nibs. The 1mm is your precision tool. The 2mm is your general purpose workhorse. The 4mm is for larger labels and bin marking.
The superfine at 0.5.
That's for when you need hairline precision, marking tiny electronic components, writing serial numbers on the edge of a circuit board. But it comes with caveats. A nib that fine restricts ink flow significantly. If you're using thick lacquer ink through a 0.5mm nib, you can get skipping, especially on smooth surfaces where the nib can't get enough friction to start the flow.
Which is where Molotow's flow regulator comes in.
This is the part of their system that sets them apart. Inside the nib base, the plastic housing that the nib sits in, there's a small insert that acts as a flow regulator. It's basically a wick with controlled porosity that meters ink from the reservoir to the nib tip. Without it, a fine nib on a lacquer marker would either flood or starve. The regulator smooths out the delivery so you get consistent line width from the first mark to the last.
That's not something you find in disposable markers.
Not at this level of engineering, no. Most disposable markers just rely on the capillary action of the felt core and the nib itself. It works fine for medium nibs with thin inks. It falls apart at the extremes.
Let's talk nib materials. Felt versus synthetic.
Felt nibs are made from compressed polyester or acrylic fibers. They're soft, they lay down a smooth line, and they're cheap to replace. But they wear. After about 500 marks on an abrasive surface, think cardboard, wood, textured metal, a felt nib starts to mushroom. The tip rounds over, your line width increases, and you lose edge definition.
For inventory marking, where you need a consistent line for barcode readability, that's a problem.
It's a huge problem. A barcode scanner doesn't care about your artistic intent. If the line width varies by more than about 15%, read rates drop. So for fine work, 1mm or smaller, I always recommend synthetic nibs.
What are they made of?
Molotow synthetic nibs use a polyacetyl fiber blend. Polyacetyl is an engineering thermoplastic, very hard, very wear-resistant, very chemically stable. These nibs maintain their edge sharpness for about 3,000 linear meters of marking before they need replacement. That's roughly 6 times the lifespan of a felt nib in the same application.
3,000 linear meters. How do I visualize that?
If you're drawing a continuous line, it's 3 kilometers. If you're making individual marks that are each about 5 centimeters long, that's 60,000 marks before you need to swap the nib.
That's almost absurd.
It's why I get excited about this stuff. The engineering that goes into a tiny piece of plastic that costs $1.50 is remarkable. Molotow's superfine nib, the 0.5mm, uses a specifically formulated polyacetyl blend that balances hardness with just enough flexibility to not feel like you're scratching the surface. It's not pleasant on paper, honestly. It can feel scratchy. But on metal or plastic, where you need that precision, it's unbeatable.
The trade-off with synthetics is that scratchiness.
On a smooth, non-porous surface like glass or polished steel, a synthetic nib can skid rather than grip. It doesn't have the slight give that a felt nib has, so you need to be more deliberate with your hand pressure. Too much pressure and you can actually deform the nib tip permanently. Too little and the ink doesn't transfer.
For glass asset tags, you'd actually recommend felt, despite the wear issue.
For glass specifically, I'd go with a 2mm felt nib and oil-based ink. The felt gives you enough surface contact to transfer ink without skidding, the oil-based ink bonds to the glass, and the 2mm width is readable without being oversized. You'll replace the nib more often, maybe every 2,000 marks, but the marking quality will be better.
What about the most common inventory scenario, marking plastic bins?
Polypropylene bins, the black and yellow heavy-duty ones you see in every warehouse, are tricky. They're non-porous and they flex. Lacquer ink will flake off when the bin gets knocked around, so you want oil-based ink. And for bin labeling, you're usually writing a location code or a content description, so you need a wider mark that's visible from a distance. I'd use a 4mm chisel nib with Coverall oil-based ink. The chisel shape lets you vary line width by rotating the marker. Wide for the main code, narrow for details. The oil-based ink cures flexible and won't crack when the bin flexes.
For paper barcode labels.
Paper is porous, so adhesion isn't the issue. Smudging is. You want the fastest drying ink possible so the mark doesn't smear when the label is handled or scanned. 1mm synthetic nib with 1-4-all lacquer ink. Touch dry in under a minute. No smudge. Consistent line width for scanner accuracy.
You mentioned nib color coding earlier. What's the system?
Molotow color codes the nib bases by recommended ink type. It's not universal across their entire line, but generally gray or black bases for standard lacquer and acrylic inks, white or clear bases for oil-based inks. The idea is you can glance at a nib and know whether it's compatible with the ink in your marker without having to remember part numbers.
Which matters when you're on a factory floor and you've got 3 markers in your pocket with different ink types.
And this is where I'll give Molotow credit for thinking about the user experience in an industrial context. The nibs are tool-free swappable. You pull the old one out with your fingers or a pair of pliers, push the new one in until it seats. The whole process takes maybe 15 seconds. Compare that to an edding industrial marker where the nib is permanently crimped and the whole marker is trash when the nib wears out.
Let's talk about what causes these to fail, because even the best system has failure modes.
The most common failure is clogging, and it almost always happens because someone used a fine synthetic nib with thick lacquer ink and didn't clean it. Lacquer inks cure by solvent evaporation. If you leave a marker uncapped for even a few minutes, the ink in the nib starts to skin over. With a fine nib, the pores are so small that a thin film of cured resin is enough to block flow completely. Soak the nib in the appropriate solvent. For 1-4-all lacquer, that's acetone or Molotow's own cleaner. For coverall oil-based, it's mineral spirits. Don't crush the nib with pliers. I see people do this, trying to break up the clog mechanically, and it just ruins the fiber structure. Soak it for an hour, blot it dry, reinsert. If it's still clogged, replace it. Nibs are consumables. They're designed to be replaced.
What about storage? I've seen conflicting advice about whether to store markers tip up or tip down.
For lacquer-based markers, store them tip down. You want the nib saturated so it doesn't dry out and so the marker is ready to use immediately. For oil-based markers, store them tip up. Oil-based inks have lower viscosity and can slowly leak through the nib if stored tip down, especially in warm environments. I learned that one the hard way with a ruined tool drawer.
There's a story there.
It's been 3 years, and I still find spots.
If I'm setting up an inventory marking station from scratch, walk me through the starter kit.
You want 1 Molotow marker body, the standard aluminum barrel, about $8. 3 nibs, a 1mm synthetic for fine labels, a 2mm felt for general work, and a 4mm chisel for bins. That's about $4.50 in nibs. A 30ml bottle of 0-4-all lacquer ink in black, about $2. And a 30ml bottle of coverall oil based in black, another $2. Total investment, around $16.50.
That covers maybe 90% of industrial marking scenarios.
For most operations, yes. You've got fine precision for barcodes and serial numbers, general purpose for asset tags, and wide marking for bins and pallets. You've got lacquer for heat and chemical resistance, oil-based for flexibility and non-porous adhesion. And when the ink runs out, you're spending $2 instead of $4 to $8 for a new disposable marker.
The other piece that doesn't get talked about enough, the environmental math. Disposable markers are plastic barrels, plastic caps, fiber cores, and residual ink, all going to landfill. A busy warehouse can easily toss 500 markers a year.
That's just one facility. Scale that across an industry and it's millions of markers annually. The EU's Single-Use Plastics Directive is starting to target industrial consumables, not just consumer packaging. Refillable systems like Molotows are ahead of that regulatory curve. One marker body can replace dozens or even hundreds of disposables over its lifetime.
Which brings us to the actionable side of this. Let's boil it down.
3 things I want listeners to take away. First, for fine inventory marking, 1mm or smaller, always use synthetic nibs with lacquer ink. They maintain line width consistency over thousands of marks, and the fast dry time prevents smudging on barcode labels. Avoid felt nibs for fine work. They'll start mushing out after about 500 marks, and your barcode read rates will drop. For medium markings, 2 to 4 millimeters on non-porous surfaces like plastic bins, metal shelving, or glass, oil-based ink with felt nibs is your sweet spot. The felt gives you better surface contact, the oil-based ink bonds and flexes, and the wider line is readable at warehouse distances. But you have to be patient. Let the mark cure for 24 hours before you handle the item. If you stack bins with fresh oil-based marks, the ink will transfer. Invest in the pump refill bottles, 30 or 100 milliliters, rather than buying new markers. The break-even point is 3 refills. After that, every refill saves you roughly 50% versus buying a new disposable industrial marker. For any operation doing more than a few hundred marks a day, that's real money.
The action step. Audit your current marking setup. If you're burning through disposable markers, do the math. A Molotow starter kit, marker body, 3 nibs, 2 bottles of ink, runs about $25. Most operations break even within 3 months. After that, you're saving money and landfilling less plastic.
One more thing I want to flag because it trips people up. Nib compatibility is not universal even within the Molotow system. The color coding on the nib base tells you the recommended ink type, gray base for lacquer, white base for oil-based. If you put an oil-based nib in a lacquer marker, the porosity won't match and you'll get flooding. If you put a lacquer nib in an oil-based marker, you'll get clogging. Match the colors.
The system is modular, but it's not mix and match without thought.
Modular means replaceable, not arbitrary. The engineering assumptions are built into each component.
Those are the practical steps. But stepping back, there's a bigger question here about where the marker industry is headed.
Molotow has been doing true refillable systems since 2005. That's over 20 years. And in that time, almost no other major industrial marker brand has followed suit. Edding has proprietary cartridges for some lines, but they're not open refill systems. You're locked into their cartridges, which cost almost as much as a new marker. Copic has a refillable alcohol marker system, but those aren't durable enough for industrial use. The field is surprisingly empty.
Which makes you wonder whether it's a technical barrier or a business model problem.
I think it's mostly business model. The disposable marker industry is built on repeat sales. A customer who buys one marker body and refills it for 5 years is worth a fraction of a customer who buys a new $4 marker every month. There's no incentive for the big players to cannibalize their own disposable sales.
Until regulation forces their hand.
Which is where the EU Single-Use Plastics Directive comes in. If industrial consumables face the same kind of restrictions that single-use food packaging is facing, refillable systems stop being a niche sustainability option and become a compliance requirement. Molotow is positioned for that shift in a way that Edding and Sharpie are not.
The open question, will other brands follow? Or will they try to split the difference with proprietary cartridges that technically reduce waste but keep customers locked in?
My bet is on proprietary cartridges. It's the path of least resistance. You get to market a refillable product without giving up the recurring revenue. But it's a half measure, and the cost savings for the customer are much smaller. Molotow's open system, where you can buy bulk ink and swap nibs freely, is the real thing. Whether the market rewards that or gets distracted by marketing claims about eco-friendly disposables, that's what I'll be watching.
If you want to test this yourself, don't overthink it. Buy one Molotow marker, one bottle of Only For All lacquer ink, and a couple of nibs. Mark something that needs to survive heat, chemicals, or abrasion. A tool handle, a chemical storage container, a metal bracket that's going outside. See if the mark holds up. The proof is on the surface.
If it works, you've just cut your marking costs in half and reduced your plastic waste by about 90% for that application. Not bad for a paint pen.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
Optical groove depth in 1950s shellac phonograph discs produced in Mali was engineered to be shallower than European pressings, about 30 microns versus 50, because the local termite-resistant wood used in playback styli was denser than imported steel needles, and a deeper groove would cause the stylus to jump the track on the first playback.
I have so many questions about the termite-resistant wood styli.
Playback fidelity? Apparently not. This has been My Weird Prompts. Thank you to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you try the Molotow system, or if you've got a marking setup that you've already dialed in, we'd love to hear about it. Drop us a review wherever you listen, or find us at myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back with more Weird Prompts soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore. A thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.